Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. As you could probably hear in my voice, I am under the weather. And so in thinking about how I wanted to approach this week's episodes, I remember I told you guys how we had a lot of like survival mode questions. And I want to sit with that a little bit more because I feel like that is deserving of more than just me answering the question, but more of a thorough deep dive. And so I want to sit with the Lord on that for a second. We still have to do another episode. I didn't do an episode last week with our review for The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Make sure you get that book so that you could pick back up with us. So I'm hoping to be able to record that in the next couple of days. But right now, I'm coughing constantly and I don't feel well. But I also, in the last episode, posted in the description a training that I did called the God Math Formula. And I think that that episode also is worthy of a repeat just simply because of the questions that I've been getting and the question that most women have when you wear a lot of hats and you're trying to do all the things and serve the Lord, manage your responsibilities well, and all of that. That formula has been truly transformative for me. It's one that I personally have to continue to go back to because it's so different from how I would naturally approach things. So I'm going to repost that here. And then the next episode, we will pick up from or pick up with the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Hopefully I, at the bare minimum, can record it without coughing. I think that we can get through if I still sound a little congested, but I would rather not be hacking while recording. So I'm going to focus on recovering so we can get back in a couple of days with that review. But for right now, please enjoy this repeat of the God Math Formula. If you are a woman who wears many hats, if you are struggling with how to make it all work and do it well, this is the episode for you. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. All right. So today, as I was praying, about today, I was sitting with the Lord. I'm like, God, we were supposed to do this on Thursday. I have my notes. I have what I want to discuss, but I know that there are no coincidences. So let's sit again and show me what you want to communicate to your people. And so something that the Lord shared with me earlier, and what He's looking to do within this session this evening is to invite you into a sanctification process. What He was showing me is that, and I've experienced this even in my own life, is that many of us, we have these habits where we're trying to find like that harmony in our life. So we go to like our 31, we start highlighting all the things that she did and how we can implement that in our life. And so what the Lord was showing me was that this harmony that, let me pull it up because I don't even want to get it wrong. What the Lord was sharing with me is that He wants to invite us into a sanctification process because He wants to retrain us in a lot of areas. So many of us have been historically taught how to function through struggle, chaos, and dysfunction. So much so that Black women in particular are now being diagnosed with autoimmune diseases as a result of internalized stress. And so He was showing me was that that even happens in our relationship with Him. So when we study the scriptures, and specifically if we're studying Proverbs 31 or anything that we're using to see harmony or balance in our life, we gravitate to the struggle and the suffering and not as much to the freedom that we have in Christ. Because yes, suffering is a part of it, but there are layers to suffering, right? So we're all going to go through struggles because we live in a fallen world and life happens. We're all going to go through struggles for the Lord because persecution is a part of the game.
But there are some struggles we just don't have to go through. And when we're suffering for the Lord, there is a peace and a protection and a provision and a companionship that we have through it that you don't have if you're suffering just for suffering's sake. But what he was showing me was that so many of us, we want peace in the sense of the absence of conflict. And I talked about this on my podcast a while ago, the differences of peace. So you have peace by definition in Webster is the absence of conflict, but that's a fleshly peace. The Lord wants us to have a peace that don't make no sense, that surpasses all understanding. And because we can't understand it, many of us who fall into this category, that all of us are here, we're on the same page. Many of us, we cannot wrap our minds around it. And because we can't, even though we can intellectualize that, hey, it's the peace that surpasses all understanding, but because we can't understand it, we don't fully receive it or lean into it, because so much of our life happens on an intellectual level. We're strategizing for our family. We're planning what we're going to eat. We're planning for the kids. Even with faith stuff, we may get into this rabbit hole of theology and deep diving in the definitions of the scripture and all of that. So we are having this intellectual experience of the text, but we're not experiencing the fullness of joy that comes from true harmony and true connection and dependency on the Holy Spirit. And so today, when we're talking about this God math formula, I'm not going to tell you nothing that you don't already know. Okay. I'm not going to give you anything that you don't already know. But what I am going to do is give to organize what you know in a different way in order to help you be able to better apply it. Does that make sense? Tell me in the chat. So I'm not here to just, you know, make you hype. I'm not. I'm here to share with you something that the Lord shared with me that freed me in a lot of ways, because I found myself, for those of you who are familiar, some of you are familiar, but for those of you who don't know, for the last year or two, the Lord has really been dealing with me personally on my pace, just scaling back. So he's been doing just everything to just scale back, scale back, scale back. And because I was physically tired, I was excited about scaling back. But what was happening was I didn't know how to function at that pace. So my physical slowing down was not translating in my mind, because my brain was still all over the place and thinking about 50 million things, even if my body was slowing down. And so when I was going to the Lord, I'm like, God, I've been making all of these decisions to keep in step with the Spirit. I've been obedient in all of the things that you asked me to do, but I still don't fully feel settled. And what the Lord was showing me was that I have to retrain you. You view pace as a lack of productivity. You view slowing down as a deficit. I had a conversation with someone recently, and she was telling me how the Lord had her shut down her business. And what she was realizing about herself is that so much of her identity was wrapped in the business. So now, as she's in a place of stillness with the Lord, she's like, so what do I do with this ambition? And when I was talking to her, I said, well, let me ask you a question. And I can ask you this because the Lord has been changing my perspective as well. Why is ambition, why do you only view having ambition as you going after some type of professional pursuit? Why is you dedicating your entire life and day to the Lord not enough to satisfy you? These are the questions that I took to the Lord. God, I love the fact that I can slow down. I love the fact that I can spend my days with my baby, that I can do these things. But something in me is still not settled in there. So my reaction is revealing something that I need to submit to you. And so that's what I did. God, I'm submitting this to you. Help me. And so as I went to the Lord and I sat with him, because it was two things going on. I was unsettled with being still or slowing down. It was still having some unsettledness in me. And there were other things that the Lord was showing me that didn't seem like it fit with just, it just seemed like it wasn't enough hours in a day still. So it was like, there's multiple things happening. So for me, when that starts happening, my go-to is I'm a fan. We turning down the plate. God, I need you to show me what is this flow? Because it ain't making sense. And so when I sat with the Lord, he gave me this equation. And it, when I tell you, it freed me, and I'm going to just show you it so you could see it on the screen. And this is the same equation that I sent y'all in the email when you registered for this. Excuse me. So the equation is simple. Consecration plus concentration equals multiplication. Now, let me explain. Because this thing is sounding real good, but it got better and better. It got gooder and gooder as I started diving in to what these things mean individually and how that translates into real life. So consecration just simply means setting yourself apart for God's purpose. Somebody put Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the chat. I'll read it out loud. Somebody put it in the chat because I want you guys to be able to take notes and reference these scriptures. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "And dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will know what is God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Another scripture I want you to write down is 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. It says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy." So when we talk about consecration, we are talking about being set apart. Now, once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are automatically set apart. However, it is our job on a day to day to surrender to this sanctification process, right? In biblical times, in the Old Testament, consecration was widely about ritual purification and sacrifices and outward acts of devotion. So we see priests who were set apart. We see like the objects and the places that were consecrated for God's purpose, so like the temple and things like that. And God's people in the Old Testament were expected to maintain like this ritual cleanliness and to follow the law in order to be holy. However, now, after that, now in the New Testament, consecration, it shifts from an external focus on rituals and objects to more so of an internal focus through Christ. And so consecration can be seen as a work of the Holy Spirit within us as believers, setting us apart for God's purposes through faith in Jesus Christ. Tell me if that makes sense. I want to make sure we're clear on what these definitions are.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. With spring activities, sports, and busy schedules, it can be tough to keep academics front and center. IXL makes it simple to stay consistent and build momentum without adding stress. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math with confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace, it's an easy way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. I use IXL every single day, and we have been using it at least for the last year. I love IXL. My son loves IXL, and I'm actually getting ready to start my soon-to-be preschooler on IXL as well. My son loves it because it's like a game. It's super interactive, and I love it as a parent because while he thinks it's fun, I know it's also benefiting him.
IXL adapts to each child's level, pace, and learning needs. It also saves you time and money. One subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade, for all the kids in your home. And 1 hour of tutoring can cost more than an entire month of IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
There is a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5 where purpose and grit come together, where the American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's called the toughest job that you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you. To dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go the extra mile, to rise to the occasion, and meet challenges head on. And the love part? Comes from being a part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transformed lives, including your own. After 65 years, Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries, learn about the benefits, and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. This episode is brought to you by Time for Learning. Now, my kids are in regular school, but we embrace in my house a homeschool type of flow because we believe in education beyond the classroom. And Time for Learning allows for real life learning, customized schedules, and hands-on experiences. They believe in harnessing the flexibility of homeschool to help families explore passions, travel, and hobbies without the constraints of traditional school hours. Schedule a mix of subjects in each day, or focus on specific ones by the day. Favored by homeschoolers as a main curriculum or a supplement, and Time for Learning is also used for after-school or summer learning to address learning gaps or maintain skills. Their activity planner plus transcript templates make it easy to match homeschool requirements in all 50 states. Best of all, the results are confident, future-forward kids that are ready to thrive in college and career. Curious if Time for Learning is right for your family? Visit timeforlearning.com. That's time4learning.com to explore their curriculum and find the perfect plan for your student. You can get started with a monthly subscription to see just how much your kids enjoy learning on their own terms.
And I'll wait because I know it's a bit of a delay, but I want us to talk back to each other because, again, I'm not telling y'all nothing you don't already know, but I'm organizing it in a way that I feel is going to provide a lot of freedom for you. Awesome. Okay, so that's the first part of the God math equation. It's consecration. We have to be set apart. We have to give our bodies, our lives, our families, our businesses, everything as a living sacrifice to the Lord, and not just in lip service, but in how we live. It's how you parent your children, showing that you are consecrated. Do your kids act like everybody else's kids? When you are out at work, when you are operating in your business, when you're talking to people, when you want to phone with your friend, is your behavior showing that you are set apart? So this is an imperative part of this equation. It is a necessary part of this equation. Now, the second part of this equation is concentration. So consecration and now concentration. In a biblical sense, concentration refers to the focus and intentional effort of dedicating my mind, heart, and actions to God's purpose. It involves eliminating distraction and giving your full attention to pursuing God's will, meaning aligning with His word and maintaining a single-minded devotion to His calling. Say that again. I'm gonna repeat this whole thing. Concentration refers to the focused and intentional effort of dedicating your mind, your heart, and your actions to God's purposes. It involves eliminating distraction and giving your full attention, undivided attention, to pursuing God's will, aligning with His word, and maintaining a single-minded devotion to His calling. The word tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we have to have a single-minded, a focused devotion to Him. So concentration is about directing all of our effort to honoring and serving God, keeping His purpose at the forefront of everything. Does that make sense? Tell me in the chat. We understand what consecration means. Do we understand what concentration means? Yes. Okay. I see one. Yes. If you don't understand, let me know too. Because if y'all been listening to me long enough, I like to make sure we're on the same page. Because if we get it, we can apply it. If it's still fuzzy, I want to make sure I connect the dots. Can't repeat it one more time. Please, concentration. Absolutely. So in a biblical sense, concentration refers to focused and intentional effort of dedicating one's heart, mind, and action to God's purposes. It involves getting rid of all distractions and giving your full attention to pursuing God's will, aligning with His word, and maintaining a single-minded devotion to His calling. The best example I could give you biblically for concentration is Jesus. If you want a specific scripture, I would say go to Mark, where it talks about when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. That's ultimate concentration. That's the perfect example. And let me actually just get the exact one. Matthew 4:1-11. This whole interaction is an example of concentration. Nobody was more focused than Jesus. Nobody. And as we're consecrated and set apart and pursuing Him and submitting everything to Him, He will then, the Holy Spirit will then work on the inside of us to make us more Christ-like. Okay, so I see some yeses for concentration. Everybody's still good here, right? Completing this whole mission in 3 years. Nobody was more focused than Jesus. We don't even got to go nowhere else. Now, consecration plus concentration. So the reason why it's 1 + 1 = 2 is because I want us to also understand that the first two are our job. Consecration is our job. We receive salvation, so that part we don't do anything for because we're saved by grace and not by work. But us making sure that we live a set apart life on a day to day, that's our job. Concentration, being focused, giving our full attention to the Lord, that's our job. Multiplication, that's the Lord's job. So I want to make sure we're also clear on what's our business and what's not our business. Because that is equally as important as it relates to applying this formula to your life. So in biblical context, multiplication refers to the process of increasing or expanding something beyond its original form or capacity. Multiplication refers to the process of increasing or expanding something beyond its original form or capacity. This can be seen in both spiritual and physical terms. So God's influence, His blessing, and people are expanded for His glory. A lot of times, multiplication, it reflects God's power to take what is small or limited and make it abundant or far-reaching. God's multiplication often reflects His power, not us, His power to take something that is small or limited and make it abundant or far-reaching. Perfect example are the disciples. when the Holy Spirit came, it was 12 of them. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and they were empowered to be sent out and spread the gospel, the Lord multiplied their efforts and countless people were saved. More specific examples, we know the fish fry. The fish fry, when Jesus fed everybody with only a limited supply. God is a master multiplicator. I don't even know if that is a word, multiplier. God is a master multiplier. And multiplication is not our business. And as busy women, people who wear many hats, this is where we get it wrong. Because we equate multitasking to multiplication, and that's not it. That is us trying to be God, and it don't work. It never works. Even in the natural sense, scientifically, studies show that multitasking does not work. If you're trying to do multiple things at the same time, your focus is nowhere because your attention is divided. How many times have you been cooking and getting the kids together and doing this? You look up and you're like, what just happened in the last 5 minutes? The kitchen on fire, kids hanging off the ceiling fan. Like, it's just a mess because you were trying to do too much, trying to multiply, getting in a position that ain't yours. So I have to be clear on what is our job and what is not our job. Multiplication is the Lord. I'm laughing at the chat. No, it's for real. And I am guilty. I am guilty because I will be doing multiple things and I stop and I literally don't even like know what I'm doing. Like, what? I'll be like, what just happened? I see all the stuff that I was attempting to do, but what did I really do well? It just simply, multitasking just simply doesn't work. So are we clear on what we mean by multiplication? And are we clear that multiplication is not our job? Because that's the most important part here. I know that y'all are people who know the word. So I don't got to go to 50 million. We don't have to spend a bunch of time in certain parts of the text. I'm going to give you the text because this is all Bible-based, but I'm about to show you in a second how this formula has played out in the word. But I want to make sure that we can apply this. This is a lesson. This is a formula that I want to teach you so you can be able to duplicate it. So are we good on the formula so that we can now see how this shows up in the text? Okay, let me go to the biblical examples. So we might have to zoom a little bit. So I have this table. And here is, these are biblical examples. I'm going to try to zoom in. These are biblical examples on God-mandated action. Consecration, concentration, multiplication. So the first one we have, let me take this out of present mode so I can zoom in. Because I'm right on the screen and still can't see. One thing the Lord ain't multiplied is my vision. Because I am blind as I don't know what. Okay, let me share it this way. Okay, so Mary, mother of Jesus. Consecration, life set apart. She accepted her role as the mother of Jesus, committed herself fully to God's plan. When I did this, I wanted to specifically include temptations of each because I want us to understand that we are always going to be attacked in these areas. And so I feel that if we can just talk about it, then we won't be blindsided. You know what I mean? We can expect that we're going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, but he was still focused. So I also included here these temptations. So she accepted her role as mother of Jesus, commit herself fully. She was the temptation to not do that was fear and judgment from others because she was a young, unwed mother. So there's always going to be temptation to choose differently. Concentration. This is what she focused on. She focused on her calling and she trusted God's plan for her life, nurturing and raising Jesus. She didn't focus on societal judgment or fear. So here's the multiplication. Again, God's response, not us. Through Mary's obedience, God brought through Jesus, the Savior of the world, impacting the salvation of humanity. This is this equation in action in the text. Let's keep going. The Shunammite woman. I didn't even notice until I started putting this presentation together. She was somebody who dedicated her resources. So here's the consecration part, her life being set apart. She dedicated her resources to serve the prophet Elisha, creating a room for her in her home. And here's the scripture reference for that. So her temptation, of course, was to hoard her resources, to not be generous, to worry about herself. Like, well, I got to give him a room and some food every time he comes to town. I don't know him like that. How many of us think that way? How many of us are tempted to not be generous because we want to hoard our resources? Here's what she concentrated on. She focused on serving Elisha and trusting in God's provision. She didn't focus on the risk of losing out because she was hospitable. And here's what happened. God multiplied by giving her a son despite the fact that she was barren. Then her son died and the Lord raised him from the dead. Imagine that. You worried about, you're like, let's take a second. You have an opportunity to serve the Lord by being generous. You decide, it's a recession. It's a lot going on right now. I don't really know them like that. So I'm not going to be hospitable. I'm going to just let him get somebody else to do it, essentially. And so she did that. The Lord didn't say, hey, if you provide room and board for Elisha, then I'm going to give you a son. She didn't know that. All she did was make sure she was set apart and she focused on the task at hand. And the Lord then said, because of your faithfulness, here is a son. Son ended up dying. And God was like, watch this. Son gets raised from the dead. Multiply. That only God can multiply in this way. Disciples, we talked about the fish fry. They obeyed Jesus by taking the small offering of loaves and fish, and they trusted him to perform a miracle. And that's in Matthew 14, 17, and 18. They were tempted. The temptation that was there was to doubt and to focus on the fact that we ain't got enough food. Instead, though, they focused on Jesus' instruction and did what they had to do. And what did Jesus do? He multiplied. Ain't it? When I tell you, this is why I say the Bible on Business series has been blessing me. Because when I tell you everything that you need to function is in the Word, there's so much more in the text for us as busy women besides Proverbs 31. I know that's the goal too, okay? I know. However, there's so much more in the text, especially because the Proverbs 31 woman wasn't a real person. It was this description of the virtuous woman by, I think, Solomon Mama wrote that part of who this virtuous woman is. So these are real, like, they're everything that we need is in the text. So let's keep going. The last one. The widow of Zarephath, Lord, hopefully I said that right. She obeyed the word of the Lord through Elijah, using the last of her flour and oil to serve the prophet. The temptation was fear of scarcity and holding on to her last meal for survival. Instead of giving into that temptation, she focused on God's promise through Elijah, and she just trusted that the Lord will provide. She didn't focus on her immediate need for food or the fear of starvation. And guess what? God multiplied her flour and oil, providing enough food for her household through the famine. It's all right here in the text. The whole equation is right here in the text. Consecration, concentration, and then God multiplies. I'm left for that, Charlotte. She was a poem, very demure, very cutesy, very much just a list of the poems. Exactly. She wouldn't even that's the funny part. Yeah, the prototype, and you know, we overachievers, so we want to go to the prototype, but she wasn't even real. But, you know, it's cool. It was left in there, so we could still take things from it. However, this example, this equation that the Lord gave me, it blessed me so good I couldn't keep it to myself. So, I wanted to do something. I wanted to put something together because I know you could feel like, okay, Tatum, I hear you, but how does this work? Because y'all all are familiar with me. I'm a practical person. I appreciate revelation. I appreciate these great concepts. But how do I wake up tomorrow and apply to what I learned? Apply what I learned. So I put together a sample schedule of what this could look like. And I'm going to share my screen. So we'll call this God Math in Action. Literally just a Google Doc I put together. What it looks like to incorporate as a busy woman, consecration, concentration, letting God multiply. Something I also put in here is a bit of enjoyment because I believe that we have to live balanced lives in a sense of where we, in the midst of all this purpose, we gotta have some fun. Jesus hung out, okay? We can have some fun and have enjoyment in our day-to-day lives. So I wanted to just highlight that a bit in this schedule as well so we don't just get so focused on being rigid that we're not relaxed at all. So here's an example. This is for the person who is married or has a family. And I have one for the single girlies as well, because you matter too. And you busy too, and you need this formula too. So here's just a sample schedule. You wake up in the morning, 6 o'clock. I know that maybe early for some. 6 o'clock. So you say, okay, I'm going to make sure my day is set apart. I'm going to start it off with some prayer and Bible study. I'm going to offer the day to the Lord. I'm going to align my heart and my mind on His will. I'm going to focus on the scripture, and I just pulled one here. I'm going to light a candle. I'm going to play some Victor Thompson or whatever worship music you like. I'm going to sit in a comfortable, quiet spot. The kids ain't up hollering and stomping around yet. I'm going to just take this moment, drink my coffee, taste it, relax, and spend that moment with the Lord. Listen to the birds chirp, crack the window, let the air come in and hit my face. And then after that, I'm going to take care of my body as a temple. So I'm going to go for a nice little walk. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to do all the things to loosen up my muscles so I feel good. I'm going to go for a walk in nature. I'm going to look at the flowers. I'm going to look at the trees. I'm going to think about all the beauty of nature and of God's creation. And I'm going to just focus on that and think about that. I'm going to think about the fact that, yeah, this day may have a lot on the schedule. But if the Lord can create all of this out of nothing, then surely this stuff that I got going on is light work. So then, and I'm just being dramatic about the day, but this is how you apply this. So then, I'm back in the house. The kids have waken up. Now, I've already started my day to myself. Now, we're going to start the day with family time. So we're going to make some breakfast. So for me in my house, my son loves cracking the egg. That's his thing. So I'm going to open the fridge. I'm going to give baby boy 2 eggs, a bowl, and a napkin to wipe his hands. He's going to crack them and put them in there. I'm going to cut on some Minnow, which is like a Bible YouTube channel. And they have like an app and they tell Bible stories and all of that. So I'm going to cut Minnow on. the TV or play like some Daffy Keys or something, or some type of kids worship music. Cut that on the TV in the kitchen. Let him whisk up his eggs, and we're going to cook together. And then we're going to talk about how his day is going to go. I'm going to ask him to pray over his day. I'm going to see my husband. I'm going to rub his shoulder. I'm going to rub his bald head. I'm going to make him a little something to eat, too. I'm going to poke my booty out a little bit. And we want to just have a good little time before we start the day. Now, everybody's out the house. Everybody go wherever they need to go. Now it's time to clock in and get to work. So focus work time. So now I'm going to cut my phone off. This whole time, my phone ain't been off. I mean, ain't been on. I ain't scrolled yet. I ain't tapped into Apple Music yet. I ain't did nothing that puts me into worrying about what the world is doing. I ain't did none of that yet. The phone is still on D&D. So after the day has started, it's time to clock in. So I'm working on whatever it is I have to do that day. So if you're at work, you're focused on work, you on time for work, you got a good attitude when you walk through the door. Even though traffic sucked, you still going to have a good attitude when you walk through the door. Doing whatever it is that you got to do. So you focus, doing your focus work. Then you're going to take a little break around lunchtime. You're going to step away, you know. Then you're going to get some food, something that you like to eat, even if you're being healthy. Something that you like to eat. You're still not on social media. Instead, you're going to take a moment and think about the way that the Lord has blessed you that day. Like, man, God, you let me get to work safely today. As you're eating your kava bowl, Lord, man, you helped me get to work today on time. Thank you, God. Lord, it's a lot going on out here. I heard on the radio this morning that another school shooting, but you allowed my child's school to be safe. I thank you for that, God. I thank you that I got a check that's coming in 2 weeks, whether I'm watching Netflix or doing something. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But you're just sitting there, and just focus on the Lord. Maybe it's another scripture you want to think about. But you might be listening to a podcast or something. Whatever the case may be, you are just focused, enjoying your lunch, thinking about the Lord, saying a little prayer to get through the rest of the day. Now, for the afternoon. You're going to work some more for the rest of the day, whatever your work includes, whether it's business, your job, whatever. You're going to work on that, still staying focused, staying productive, eliminating distractions, not opening up those group chats that got like 20 TikToks in it for you to watch. That's just going to tempt you into being on there for 2 hours. You're not going to do that. That phone's still on D&D. You could have checked it a little bit, maybe on your lunch time. But while you're working, you're going to be focused. While you're working, maybe listen to some worship music, whatever, but you finished off your day. At the end of the day, you clocked out. That's it. Time to go home. You pick the kids up. Your husband gets off. Y'all get back off. Now it's time to prepare some dinner. So you cook in, the kids help, your husband helps, whatever the case may be. You may go play out back outside with the kids. Maybe you and your family play Scrabble at the end of the day, whatever. Just doing something, again, still limited phone use. You're doing something to enjoy your family. You're having conversations with your children about their day. You're asking them to tell you, and as you go even into the evening, you're asking them to tell you how the Lord blessed them that day, some of the good things that happened in that day. You're just honoring the Lord with your family by spending quality time, by talking, by being intentional, by doing whatever it is unique to your family that you guys have a good time with. And then after that, the kids go to bed. You do whatever to kind of build yourself up from the day. So maybe it's reading a book. You take a relaxing bath. If you have a hobby or something, you could do that. If you're married, you know, do grown folks things, you know what I'm saying, to help relax. At the end of the day, you and your husband enjoy each other a few times, okay? but do whatever. Do whatever brings you joy. Do whatever to rejuvenate and rest, because rest is important. The Lord wants us to rest. And then at the end of the day, around 9, start preparing for the next day. How y'all feel about this day? If you compare this day to how your days usually go, what you think? All right, I'm trying to tell you I love some D&D. Listen, my phone, I don't even know what it sounds like if it rang, to be honest with you. I had it on earlier and it went off a couple of times. I thought it was something playing in my background because my phone is never on. Exactly. Exactly. It sounds great, doesn't it? And the good thing about this, though, let me tell you the best thing about this. This is not situation dependent. This is the joy of the Lord. So much could be happening in the world, but you can still live like this. Do y'all get what I'm saying? It could be famine. It could be destruction. It could be war happening outside. And you can still live like this. It's doable. It just takes intention. That's it. And this is what we have to focus on. And I feel like if we do this, because a lot of us, we like to do stuff. We like to keep our hands moving, right? We like to get stuff done. But if we focus on applying this into our day-to-day, watch what the Lord does. Because remember, multiplication is His business. Watch what He does as you honor Him in this way. The scrolling, it affects us so much. It is not healthy for us to know so much about what is happening in the world at the same time. And then hear so many opinions about it as well. It's not healthy. It's not. And I have the same schedule for people who are single. It's similar. The only difference is it's not family stuff on here, but it's still the same thing. Still prayer and Bible study in the morning, still some self-care, still that preparation, personal preparation is coming here instead of the family time. You're still working. It's the same thing. Same exact thing. And then even for one thing that is different too, and you can apply this if you have a family as well, but community. So spending intentional time with your friends and family, call them, go pop up, see what they got going on, plan an activity together, go out to dinner, go out to, whatever, after work. FaceTime people, see what they're doing, see how you could pray for them. Talk about your favorite show, whatever the case may be, connect with folks. Yeah. Tawanda, you can mix the two. If you're single with kids, you can definitely mix the two. I'll send this to y'all with the replay once this is over, this sample scheduling. You can use it as a blueprint for your stuff as well. And whatever you have going on, you can make it fit your life as well. So how are y'all feeling? How are y'all feeling about this God-math equation? What are some of your takeaways, some of your downloads, some of your aha moments? My prayer is that one of the takeaways you have is that it is doable. I love where I saw that word someone said. I want you to feel that it's simple because I feel like if it feels that way, then you'll apply it. Because it is. It is simple. We just got the hard part is building the discipline. Biggest takeaway is that God doesn't just give authority over servants, but also over your schedule. And we need to exercise that there too. Yeah. I will tell you that even though I fall back into old habits and I have to consistently focus because I do get distracted, as I have been slowing down to keep in step with the Lord and surrendering to Him, and, obeying and seeing things through what happens with me is sometimes things will happen and that'll kind of throw it off. Just the nature of having kids, small kids, stuff comes up. I'm the entrepreneur, so I have the more flexible schedule than my husband who works and has to be in meetings and things like that. So when things usually come up in life, in our schedule, I have to kind of hop in and do stuff. And so for me, what happens is when the pace picks up of life, sometimes I can get sucked into it and fall out of doing it. I go into reactive mode as opposed to staying proactive. And then I have to keep going back to the Lord, repenting, and then doing better. But I will say, though, as I have surrendered to this pace of the Lord and continuously seeking Him to and asking Him to refine me from my hustler rate wave, I have seen so much fruit, even as it relates to my business, surrendering it to the Lord and having Him change how I'm doing business. The way I conduct business is way more peaceful than before. Like now, I remember the other night, I think it was last week, I had a meeting with my mentorship group. We had our session, and then I had to do a session in the society. When I logged off of both of those, I still had energy. If I was operating the way I was a couple of years ago, I would have had a headache. I would have been exhausted, and I would have crashed afterward. I was still tired because I was busy. A lot happened that day, but it was a level of the energy that I had wasn't from me. It was from the Lord. The way that I've seen my business be impacted, like yesterday, we have right now we have two churches who have memberships at my studio using the location for different things. And the Lord just sent them. And I have been kind of upset because I'm like, oh, I had to do this, I had to do that. I haven't been able to do certain things that I want to do for that business. And the Lord just continues to say, like, when you're consecrated, when you are concentrated, I will multiply. And He just continues to prove that to me. And so I promise you that this isn't about perfection. This isn't about doing it the right way all the time. But it is about being in a surrendered place to the Lord and just watch what He does. Because that multiplication is going to be so specific to you that you won't even be able to fathom it. Like today, I was tired for most of today because I went out this weekend with some moms. It's a group of moms where all of our sons were in the same class last year. And I had such a good time. We were out, y'all, we was out from 1 to 8 p.m. What was we doing? We were just cackling, the loudest people in the restaurant, just like loud because we were having such a good time. The day after, I went to brunch again with my sister and had a great time. So, and then I had to hop right into preparing for the week with the kids and everything. So I was out being grown this weekend, and I'm an introvert by nature. So I already need about 2 or 3 business days to recharge in silence so that I can get my energy back up. And I haven't been able to do that. But today I was tired. But right now I have so much energy. Caffeine couldn't do this. The level of joy and excitement and zeal that I feel in doing this can only come from the Lord. This can only come from obeying what He told me to do. Because if I was doing something in my own strength, I would be depleted. One thing that is going to be necessary for us to implement this equation is strategy. We're going to need systems. One thing that we have access to as women in modern times is technology and software and system and strategy and information. We have so much that we can craft certain things or certain strategy that allows us to have the freedom and the harmony that we are looking for. And so I have an event. Let me share my screen. It's called the She is Uncompromising Mastermind Weekend. It's coming up in November. Okay, so it's coming up in November. The event is November 8th and 9th. It's going to be at Anchored Media Studios in Laurel, Maryland, which is the midpoint between D.C. and Baltimore. And this is an event for women who are busy, who love the Lord, and who are uncompromising about living a harmonious life. And like I said, there's so much like that goes into having the harmony that you want to have in your life. Your business has to be organized. Your day-to-day has to be organized. The systems that you use have to be in place to manage your business, your work life, and your home life. And there are so many tools and resources at our fingertips. And so I did this mastermind weekend because I wanted to provide that. And also, I feel like community is extremely necessary. When I went out on Saturday with the moms from my son's class, it was so refreshing to be sitting with like-minded women. Everybody, our sons all go to a Christian private school. So everybody was Christian. Everybody was successful and accomplished. Everybody had moms and kids of the exact same age. So we were able to have conversations and connect with things that you didn't have to explain. How many times have y'all have been around people who may be around you by proximity, but not fully connecting with them? So it's like, you got to explain everything. You got to explain to them what the business is. You got to explain to them your faith. You feel like you got to justify versus just having a regular conversation. And one thing that I've learned is that it is so important to have a community of like-minded people. And so this event is about getting the tools that you need, getting the encouragement and the empowerment that you need, and also getting the community that you need to live this thing out. And so there are multiple parts to this program. The first part is the pre-work. So everybody is going to get access to our She Is Uncompromising curriculum. So this is a program that I did a couple of years ago. And I wanted to create something to help entrepreneurs be able to craft their businesses. I feel like when you are looking for resources for your business, there's so many isolated things. And then you're trying to like piece together what strategies and tools and coaches I'm going to use to, and maybe if I apply these things, I'll see success. And I don't think that that works. I don't think we can piecemeal our ways to successful businesses. And so I created this curriculum because I wanted to create something that had a holistic view of business and addressed all the major areas of business, which is operations and human resources, finance and marketing. Those are the major areas of business. So we have classes for operations and HR. So creating a business plan, how to create a strategic plan for your business, everything you need in place before hiring a team, identifying your business structure, all of the boring stuff that you need to do to set a foundation for God to multiply. God ain't gonna multiply no chaos. So we have to have our stuff in order. And this curriculum it hits on so many different things. And also you get so many different expertises. So you get mine. I have a master's in business. And so my education and business school is all about operations and executive leadership. And so that's the perspective that I bring, as well as my experience in being an entrepreneur for, I would say, almost 10 years and being self-employed for 7 years. We also have finance classes. So my husband, for those of you guys who don't know, is a CPA certified public accountant, and he donated a full course of classes, stare money versus prepared money. So how to prepare your business finances, calculating startup costs so you know how much it's going to actually cost to start and grow your business, creating your operating budget so you know how much it'll cost to operate your business, financial forecasting and projection, understanding taxes and financial management, accounting software, all of that, those classes he created with supplemental worksheets and Excel sheets and all of that finance people stuff here. We also even had a class donated by my lawyer, Nakia Gray, on how to legitimize your business structure. And then I teach all the classes on marketing. So how to develop a marketing plan, a budget, how to sell, understanding what marketing is and the role it plays in the big picture. So all of this was a whole program in and of itself. And everybody who registers for our upcoming weekend will get access to it. We also have a workshop. Oh, her pictures aren't coming up. We also had a workshop on that Saturday by, her name is Latrice Claiborne. I want y'all to see who she's worked with. Let me fix this. We also have a workshop coming up by Latrice Claiborne. For whatever reason, it's not loading. But her class is going to be all about effortlessly efficient. So she is a systems expert. She is a wife. She is a mother of 4 boys. She homeschools. her children, and she runs a successful company where she specializes in teaching people software and systems to automate their businesses so that they can earn more while working less. She is excellent at what she does. I have worked with her, and she has helped me craft the logistics behind me committing to this new pace with the Lord. She's worked with, even though it's not even loading here, she's worked with, let me see if I can see on that. She's worked with, now I'm going to hear my baby in fact. She has worked with Tiffany, the Budgetista. She has worked with, let me sit down here. So many different people, y'all. People that you know, some of the top people, some top Christian entrepreneurs she has worked with. So she is excellent and top tier at what she does, even though Canva is playing and not letting us see. But Latrice is going to be leading our Saturday workshop. It's going to be a 90-minute workshop going through all the systems and everything that you're going to need. And we have very limited capacity. So this is going to be at the studio. It's limited space. I want this space to be intimate. I want this space to be full of people who are full of the Spirit and people who are committed to not only their own growth, but really being able to pour into other women in this space. Capacity is on a first come, first serve basis. We have a few seats left, not a lot. So I suggest you take advantage of this ASAP if you want to join us. But yes, thank you so much, you guys, for hanging out with me, for being here. If you have any questions about anything that comes up, feel free to email me. I pray that you guys have a fantastic rest of your evening and that you apply, most of all, that you apply the God-Math equation to your life, because I can't wait to see how he will multiply it.
I hope that you guys enjoyed that replay of the God Math webinar. If you want to see the visual elements that were included, click the link in the show notes to register for the replay. If you want to learn more about our VIP weekend coming up in November, the link to that is in the show notes as well. And if you are in the DC, Maryland, and Virginia area and you're looking for a space to work, a place to create, a place to have events, I invite you to Anchor Media Studios Open House. The link to RSVP for that is in the show notes as well. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.